the mysteries of God. Before the foundation of the world, God had a plan. Before He created this world in which man lives, God had a plan. Before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God had a plan. The all-wise Creator, the power of this universe, far beyond what you and I understand, in His wisdom, in His knowledge, in His great love and mercy, in His forethought and careful planning, God had a plan. God had a plan to redeem man to Himself. God had a plan that would take a man who was sinful and make him holy in the eyes of God, necessary because of His justice. God had a plan to buy back man from sin in order that he might walk uprightly before His God as he walked on the earth, and that he might live with God forever. This plan was a mystery because neither man nor angel knew anything about it until God revealed it. Angels did not understand God's plan, even though they desired to look into it and understand it, according to what Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 12. Even at the time when God made a covenant with His people, Israel, the true meaning of God's action was hidden from their eyes. Old Testament prophets didn't know the meaning of God's plan, even though they wrote down exactly what God told them to write about it. They didn't understand everything about the wisdom of God that would be revealed later. Even by the time of Christ, the most learned religious leaders of the day still had no sure idea what God was going to accomplish in His love for man through Israel. After the plan was revealed, it was no longer a mystery. But because it was revealed to man, it was a revelation to man, it was no longer unknown. God's eternal plan was a mystery because in other generations it was not made known to men, as Paul wrote to the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians 3 and verse 5. It's interesting to me that one day Jesus' disciples asked Him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus' answer is very telling in Matthew 13 and verse 11. "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." The Greek word that is used for mysteries in this case refers to something that was once hidden, but now has been disclosed. Now it has been made known. Mystery, then, in this context and in other passages in the New Testament, is anything which was secret, but is now open to knowledge. That's not true every time that the word translated into our English word mystery is used, but many times it is. And this concept is reflected in Paul's letter to the Romans in Romans 16, 25 through 27. And here's what Paul said. "Now to Him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen." Paul affirmed that God's plan ceased to be a mystery when it was revealed. Paul said he was a steward of God's gracious plan and one who had a part in revealing that mystery, as this plan had been revealed to him along with the other apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. What are these mysteries? What are these sacred secrets that God held hidden for man for such a long period of time in man's history, and then finally decided the time was right to reveal them? What are these mysteries? In the first place, I think we can see that there's a mystery with regard to Israel's unbelief when God finally did send the Anointed One, His Messiah, the Christ. In Romans 11 and verse 25, Paul said, "For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." As the church became more and more made up of Gentile believers in a gift that was intended primarily for God's people, Israel, they gradually became believers and churches became Gentile throughout much of the world. And as the church became more and more made up of Gentile members, hardness among the Jews increased. Unbelief among the Jews increased until the church became almost, if not entirely, Gentile in membership. Until the fullness of Gentiles came in, then the hardness among the Jews apparently became complete and was made known to all. If this is not what Paul meant, at least that's what really occurred. The Jews never imagined that they would reject their Messiah. They were looking forward to God's representative coming to them. They were looking forward to the kingdom of God that would be revealed at a later time. They longed for His coming. Every Jewish mother hoped that her son would be the Christ, the Messiah. But God knew that when at last He sent the Messiah, that the Jews would reject Him and deny Him. And this was one of God's sacred secrets. The mystery of Israel's unbelief, when it all plays out, when the revelation is now complete, when the gospel is preached to everyone, including those for whom it was primarily to result in their benefit, there were those people who were chosen by God through whom the Messiah would come into the world that didn't believe the gospel of Christ. And what about the mystery of God's incarnate Son? What about the mystery of a divine being taking on the form of flesh and living among men? Paul in Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself. What is the focal point of the mystery of God? It has to do with Christ. Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything that is real wisdom, everything that is true knowledge, every way that man could be blessed as a result of having that kind of wisdom and that kind of knowledge, it's all summed up in Jesus Christ, and that's God's mystery. And it is now revealed to man. Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 9, "He made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him," that is, in Christ, "with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times," that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth, in Him, in Christ. The Jews looked for a great military leader, a political savior to rescue them from Roman oppression. They never dreamed that their Messiah would be God in human flesh. But that was God's plan. And that was God's mystery that was held secret for such a long time, but then finally revealed. Before the foundation of the world, God had planned it. But it was hidden until the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now it can be openly declared the Messiah is none other than God's own Son. God, who took the form of flesh and came and lived among men in a human body. That's a mystery of God, isn't it? In thinking about Christ as the incarnate Son of God, it's helpful for us also to think of the mystery of the indwelling Christ. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 25, I was made a minister according to the stewardship of God, Paul said, bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is, the mystery. You see, the preaching of the Word of God, that is, the mystery, which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to His saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You and I, as believers in Christ, have a hope. It is a hope in the resurrection of the righteous, not the condemnation of the wicked. We live in hope because we are believers. We live in hope that we will see the glory of God and participate in the glory of Christ. And how is that possible? It is possible for us, according to this passage, when Christ lives in us. Christ living in us. His Word living in us. Belief in Him, the great motivator of our lives. Christ in people, living in people, even Gentiles. That is the mystery of God revealed. The Jews also looked for a Messiah to sit on the physical throne of David in Jerusalem, but God had always intended for His Messiah to live on the throne of human hearts. And that is the mystery that has been revealed. No prophet ever foresaw this truth. No prophet of God ever exposed that in their prophecies. This is another of God's sacred secrets, once hidden in the mind of God, but now revealed for us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is the mystery of immortality. Men had questions about, if men die, will they live again? Will the spirit live on? What happens after death? Is the grave all there is? Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50, writes this, "Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery," he wrote. "We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality." Paul makes it very clear to answer any curiosity questions that Christians may have, to help fortify and strengthen their faith that there is life after death, and it is found in Christ Jesus. Paul revealed that mystery, the mystery of the immortality. The Greeks believed that the body is evil, and that death is what sets man's soul free from the prison house of the body. Paul corrected that notion, arguing that one day God will give every man a body that is incorruptible and immortal. Through the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, God revealed the secret of man's immortality. The possibility that man can live eternally with God becomes sure becomes a foundation upon which you and I can rest our faith, thanks to Jesus Christ. There is a mystery of the body of Christ. Fifthly, and finally, of the points that we will look at considering the mysteries of God. In Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 29, this is what Paul said. In using the marriage example as an illustration of the church of Jesus Christ, he continues what he's talking about, verse 29. It says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Now notice what he says in verse 32. "This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church." It's not just a sermon about marriage, although it is a good one. Paul says, "This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church." As you and I live what we learn, we make known to our communities one of God's greatest secrets that has now been revealed. The mystery that we make up the body of Christ, the church of the living God, the church of Jesus Christ, and that we work together to accomplish His purpose in the world. The mystery that was revealed included God's plan in Christ, the function of the church, the fact that Gentiles were included. All such details make up that mystery. If you will look in your Bible in Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 13, we will consider this passage before we close our lesson for tonight. In Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 3, actually the beginning of the chapter, we'll begin reading at verse 3. Letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. "By revelation there was made known to me the mystery." This is what we've already talked about, isn't it? "As I wrote before in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit." To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. There's no barring of any Gentile as a believer. "Of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of His power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places." This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. No afterthought here. "In whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore I ask you not to lose heart by my tribulations on your behalf, for they are for your glory." There's a lot of information about exactly what we've been talking about right here in Ephesians chapter 3. This mystery contains three primary truths in this passage. Number one, Gentiles had been made heirs of the same inheritance offered by God to the Jews. That upset some Jews, but that was God's plan. Secondly, Gentiles were fellow members of the one body in equal standing with Jewish members. They weren't secondary, second-class members at all. They had the same standing as any Jew. And then thirdly, Gentiles were full participants in the promises of God along with the Jews. They had access, a right, to be recipients of the promises of God according to God's purpose. The Jews never knew that this was going to happen. The Jews never planned for it. They never thought out that it could be a possibility in the mind of God for it to be that way. They didn't consider it beforehand. They never dreamed that such blessings would be offered to Gentiles. It was God's secret in ages past, once hidden, but then revealed. The open mystery of God is that on the cross, God tore down this great dividing wall between Jew and Gentile that represented hostility, that represented division, and He created within Himself one new man. And that's where the believers today find themselves. Where there is neither Jew nor Gentile, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. All have equal standing before God as members of the body. That's been God's plan from eternity past. The church is no accident. It wasn't a last-minute idea. It wasn't a last-ditch effort on the part of God to do something for man because His promise to man didn't work out. That's not our God in heaven. In planning our redemption before the foundation of the world, the one body, the church of Jesus Christ, made up of people regardless of ethnic heritage, was the essence of what God had in mind for man, to unite all as one, all believers as one, all who would follow Jesus Christ as one. Through the gospel, you and I teach others around us about this multifaceted wisdom of God. The wisdom that was once hidden but is now revealed. We show them by our lives how God can take a sinful person who is rebellious, who is stubborn against His will, and forgive us completely without compromising the integrity of His holiness. And He does that because Jesus Christ offered Himself in our place. And Jesus Christ was a perfect man, a sinless man, thus an adequate sacrifice to stand in for you and I when it comes to our standing before God. We demonstrate to the world how He transforms us into a fellowship that loves God and hates sin and accepts one another regardless of our different backgrounds, our different heritages, and different nations from which we arose. God can do that. But only through the gospel can people learn of God's great mercy and God's forgiveness, and God's plan to redeem man. Only through the gospel can they learn of the depth of God's love. Only through the gospel and Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead can man discover the extent of God's ability to forgive. That's the only message there is for man, whereby he may be right in the sight of God. Remember, a biblical mystery is not something dark and unknown. It's something known by God and unknown to man until a point in time when God reveals it to man for everyone to know. Because of what God has done in forming the one body through Christ, we enjoy the blessing of an instant access to God, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in times of great joy and in times of great sorrow, in times of overwhelming blessings and in times of want. We can approach Him with freedom, with confidence, with boldness, for all the barriers between us and God were removed by Jesus Christ. Could there be a greater blessing than knowing that one can be fully accepted by the Creator of the universe, able to communicate with Him at all times? What a great blessing that is. God wants His message of salvation to be known to every person, everywhere, so that everyone will have an opportunity to hear. We do not proclaim a hope-so religion. We declare the unsearchable, unlimited riches of God's wisdom and knowledge in Christ Jesus toward a bankrupt, spiritually, humanity. In the process, men and women will be transformed, and God will be glorified now and forever. The mysteries of God, yes, they have been revealed, and they are for our benefit. What about you, friend? Are you living as a part of the body of Christ? Are you living the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life as a believer? If not, we urge you to seriously think about your standing before God and realize that you are missing out because you are not a part of the great mystery of God that has been revealed to all men everywhere, and you can't enjoy the great blessings of it. We wish there were something that we could say or do to encourage you even this night to put on Christ, to have a relationship with God, to be a partaker of the mystery of God, to be blessed with that knowledge and that wisdom in Christ. You have to be in Christ. We are baptized into Christ, Galatians 3. If we can help you tonight to walk closer to God in any way, when you leave this building than when you first came in, we will be delighted to do it. And if we can, please come to the front and indicate to us while we stand together to encourage you by singing this song.